Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. For many, this is a familiar passage. For others, maybe not. God works in mysterious ways. He works in everybody's heart in different ways. And so as you prepare messages, you preach messages, you never quite know who's going to be affected how. But your prayer is that God somehow affects each one of us. That somehow we could walk out of here having perhaps learned something, perhaps having our faith renewed, perhaps rejuvenated, whether it be from the message or from the people. For me, the biggest part is not this, but seeing you come in. By the way, thank you so much. In the mornings, I've been sitting right back there at the corner, and folks come by and say hello and talk. And if I happen to miss you, I'm sorry, because you walk way too fast. But I appreciate it so much. Verse number 1 says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So he went unto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on the stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, and other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For I verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed of the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you that we can have the privilege to gather one with another. Thank you for the privilege to sing together this morning and to rehearse in song the marvelous things of God. We thank you this morning that we have this avenue of prayer to come unto you and seek you. Ask you to lead us and to guide us. And ask for the leading and the of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless this morning. Open hearts and ears, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As I look at this passage today, I ask a question. Why are some saved and some are not? When we look and we find that it's the same message, and it's the same messenger. We note from this there is a sower, and he sows seed in multiple places. But we find that there is only one seed, and that seed is sown. So why is it that there is difference in how it is received? When we look at this passage, we find the Lord Jesus Christ having multitudes gathered to him. It's interesting to me that everywhere he went, it seems that others followed him. And as they did so, he used three primary means, watch, why he revealed himself unto men. One of the things the Lord Jesus does was he preached to people. He gave forth the truth of God through his speaking. We find also he sought to convey to them that he is God by performing miracles. So he was a miracle worker. And then we find thirdly, that the Lord Jesus used parables. Now, parables are similitudes or comparisons that use natural things to help us understand spiritual things. And there's something about, if I could use the word story, that helps to make a greater impression in our life. Many people love to read stories because it helps them to understand things. As we look here in verses 1 through 8, we find the narrative that is given of how the sower went forth and sowed the seed on four different types of soil. Then we find that every person who feels the necessity of being instructed in the things which concern his soul welfare, listen, they pay attention to what is spoken and will become wise unto salvation. Drop down verse 9 and notice what it says. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the person who really wants to hear, they can hear. Then we notice in verse 10 and 11 that they ask him, why are you speaking in parables? And I believe that he gives us a marvelous truth. And that is that he speaks in parables because they did not understand or did not pay attention to his preaching or they did not allow the miracles to teach them what they wanted. And those who are uninterested, they would not understand through the parable. It would go over their head. And so we find that it tells us in verse number 12, whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And the Lord's trying to teach us from an old common practice, and that is people, even yet today, tend to give presents unto the rich that are not ordinarily given to other people. I don't know if it's to make an impression. I don't know why, but it seems to be the truth. And so what he's trying to understand here is that those who are rich already in God are going to understand more as a result. And the Lord wants to use parables then to reach our hearts. Therefore speak I to them in parables, verse 13. Because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They did not get it from their sight. They did not get it from the words that were spoken. But he's given them these parables that they might have a story that they can relate to and they can understand. You know, a lot of you folks in this room, you're older. I say that gently, because I'm getting there myself. But you know, we can talk about things from the past. Some of our young people would not get it. They do not understand that. They never saw their dad shovel coal into a furnace that we might have heat through the night. Many of them never understood or would not understand actually having to live in a house with open windows in the summer. Air conditioning back in our day was finding a breeze somewhere. Amen? But yet older folks can relate to some of those things. So God has for us a multitude of stories and parables and narratives like this one here to help us to understand. And then the Lord takes us to verse number 18. We'll drop down to there. And it says here, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He's going to take time now to explain to them that they might understand this parable. Brethren, listen for a moment. I have been taught most of my life that parables have one primary meaning and to be careful of all the details. But yet as we look here, as his explanation of this parable, the details are all very important. And the reason that many times it's been taught that you cannot understand all of those things is simply because they've not looked at all of what God has to say. They've not allowed God to speak to their hearts as they should. And so we look here, and notice verse 18 and 19. We'll read it together again. It says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which has received the seed by the wayside. Understandeth it not. Regardeth it not. Does not lay it to his heart. Here's anyone that hears it, and they do not understand because they do not allow it into their heart. We find that there's a reason for that, and that is the wicked one who distresses and torments the soul. It's interesting to me, as we look in the book of Mark, in a very similar passage, he is called Satan, the adversary or the oppressor, because he resists men in all their purposes and opposes them. We find then in Luke, he's called the devil, from that word devil, which really means to shoot or dart through. It's an allusion to the meaning of the name, where Paul in chapter 6 of Ephesians talks of fiery darts of the wicked one. It's a remark worthy remark that the three evangelists should use a different word for this mortal enemy, probably to show that the devil, with all his powers and properties, opposes everything that tends to the salvation of the soul. Notice what he does. The seed is thrown out, but he catches it away. He makes the utmost haste to pick up the good seed, listen, to take up root in the heart. Brethren, understand something this morning. If you know Jesus, your Savior, you want others to know him as well. One of the first things I ever hear out of a new convert's life or mouth is that they would love to see somebody else come to Christ. If you know him today, that's a desire in your heart. I don't have to pump that up into you, but I do, I believe, help you to understand the love of God more, and that from that you will love him more, love people more, want to see that even more. But we find something. When you give the word, the devil's going to try to snatch that away as soon as it's given. One of the places he works the hardest is right here, right now. While the word is given, whatever is said, he seeks to pull it away. He does it in a lot of ways, through distractions. There are people who sit in church, forgive me, I'm not telling anybody, but they decide that's the greatest place in the world to clip their fingernails. And while they're clipping their fingernails, the little thing's going click, click, click. What's that doing to the people around them? It's causing them to lose something that was there. And they don't get it, take it into their heart as they should. A careless, inattentive hearer is compared to the wayside. His heart is an open road. It's where evil affections, it's where foolish and hurtful desires could come, and they could pass and repass, and we don't even really notice or restrain ourselves from it. Notice verse 20. It says, but he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. This one who receives seed that is considered a stony place, it's an interesting picture. It's an emblem of a man who hears the gospel, is affected by its beauty and its excellency, immediately receives it, it even says with joy, and to hear what God has done to make man happy. Did you hear that? Do you realize that a lot of what we say to people about having Christ as their Savior is trying to tell them, you get saved and everything will be wonderful. Your life will be such a marvelous thing. Let me tell you something. God allows something in our lives to perfect us, and it's not fun. It's called persecutions. It's called sicknesses. It's called loss of family members and friends. But there's so many things that come into our life. But here's the neat part about it. God did not promise us happiness, but he does give us joy because we know he will take us through every situation. And so many of them believe, well, all of my problems will go away if I get saved. Well, I don't mean to put it down, but no, they'll get worse. There'll be more so. But you have one to give you the strength to endure and to go forward. And then it says here, he hath no root in himself. His whole soul is not deeply convinced of its guilt, of its depravity. The fallow ground has not been plowed up, if you please, nor the rock broken. And so when persecution arises, which he did not expect, he soon is stumbling. And he seeks some pretext to abandon the doctrines and the followers of Christ. It's a sad scenario, but it happens over and over. Verse 22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What are we trying to say this morning? Why do some people get saved that hear the same message and others do not? And here it tells us one of the reasons, and that is the cares of this life overcome us. The delusive hopes and the promises of riches caused a man to abandon the great concerns of his soul and seek in their place what he shall eat, what he shall drink, and wherewithal he shall be clothed. But I'm thankful for verse 23. Most of you in this room fit into this category. He that receives seed of the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Good ground. That is which had depth. It was well plowed. The weeds were removed. All the obstacles to the seed had been taken away. It was able to fall into that ground and through the rains be pushed down a little and to begin to develop. And a plant comes forth. And that plant, which is your life, bears forth fruit. It's interesting. I've often heard, and I do not disagree, that the fruit it's talking about is winning people to Christ. But can I interject something? The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. But when you have that, you'll be a testimony to others. You'll have something that is a parable that speaks to hearts to others. It's not just words coming out of your mouth, but it's that which will be well-pleasing to God. And God gives all of us an ability here. It tells us some is 100-fold. Some is 60, some is 30. You do not see the words, some is nothing. Why is that? Because God gives every one of us that ability to plant the seed. And I say this message this morning for two or three reasons. But one of them is, don't be discouraged because some of the seed you sow does not flourish. Don't be deceived to believe that you are of no value in sowing the seed. You have the same seed I have. You have the same God I have. And though our abilities may differ, we still have the same marvelous privilege. Do not be discouraged by the soil, but be encouraged by the one that hears. The one who diligently attends to the ministry of the word. He understands that he lays the subject to his heart and he comes to know Christ. What a blessedness. But perhaps today you're here and you're one of those other three soils. There's some reasons you don't get saved. And he lays them out here very plainly to us. And we allow other things to get in the way. What's more important than where you spend eternity? What's more important? On a few occasions, as I've dealt with doctors and nurses so much in the last few years, they have been so kind, they've been so energetic and helping. There's been some times that were very embarrassing as they had to clean you up and all those different things. And I've always been so amazed that they are seeking to help me to stay around a few more days. And I've sometimes asked them, you're so concerned about my welfare, but what about your soul? No matter what you do for this body, it's going to die. But your soul will never die. See, how do you know that, preacher? Because God said that we're created in His image. In His image. And we're talking about the spiritual, the soulish image. But where's that going to spend its eternity? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. How many in this room would say, preacher, I have sinned. I have sinned. If your hand doesn't raise, you're sitting right now. I have sinned. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But what did Jesus do? He went to the cross and took that death upon himself. He says, so what's that mean? That means, according to God's word, if you believe that, your soul can be saved. Just that simple. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these verses. What an encouragement they can be as we seek to see others come to know you. I pray, O God, for any in this room who know you not as Savior, that they've understood somehow the gospel, and that they this day would believe you and know that if they died, they go to heaven. I pray for your people that you might encourage them and help them to see that their efforts are not worthless. And through that, oh God, others come to know you. For we ask it in Christ's name.